Before we start the show, let's hear from one of our sponsors. Their support keeps this show free for you. Hey there, Peace and Parenting family. If you love the podcast but wish to enjoy it without interruptions, your wish has come true. Introducing the ad-free version of the Peace and Parenting podcast available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. As a subscriber, you'll get all the heartfelt advice, parenting stories, and actionable tips you love without any ads. For less than the cost of a coffee each month, you will enjoy uninterrupted listening while also supporting our work to help you build stronger connections with your kids. Try it out for free. Simply find Peace and Parenting on Apple Podcasts, click try free, and you'll gain immediate access to our ad-free episodes. There's no commitment and you can cancel anytime. So if you're ready for a more peaceful, uninterrupted listening experience, subscribe now. Let's keep focusing on connection without the distractions. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome back to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle. I'm glad you're here. I want to talk about being a control freak. I definitely think that I am a recovering control freak. And in many ways, I still seek control. And I'm hoping that there are other people out there who can relate, because I don't think I'm the only one. But when I was in my 20s, I went to therapy for quite a while, probably 10 years. And I never really got to the idea that I was a control freak. But now looking back, I can see there were many places where I needed and wanted control, mostly my environment. So I made sure my environment was very tidy and looked a certain way, and my aesthetic was very curated. And that never really bothered anybody in my 20s, because I was on my own, or I was living with my then husband, who pretty much let me do what I wanted in our environment and was quite, you know, okay with things being the way I wanted them. And he was quite clean and neat also. And he liked things very organized. So we made a good pair in that way. And I think some of it for me was I needed to control my environment, because my insides were not in control. And when I could control my environment, then I could falsely control my insides, or give myself a sense of some sort of control, because the insides of me were out of control. So if I couldn't control that, if I couldn't control my emotions, then I could at least control what I could see. But that becomes very problematic when you have children and when you have little kids. It worked okay when I had infants, but I worked very hard to make sure my environment stayed the way I needed my environment to stay. Calm and quiet, clean, organized, and looking perfect. This led into my perfectionism too. But when you have a toddler who makes messes, says no, isn't behaviorally quiet all the time, it can push you out of whack as a control freak. And it's very difficult to navigate. So I think this is what happened to me, is that I couldn't control my child. And I was so used to controlling my environment, and part of my environment became my child. And so I couldn't control the cleanliness. I couldn't control the behavior. I couldn't control the noise. I couldn't control anything. And I did everything I could to control in order to make my environment feel better for myself. And I hear a lot of parents will say, well, I can't take the noise. I can't take the mess. I can't take the behavior. I think because we are conditioned, or perhaps that we need to have everything a certain way. And if we don't have it a certain way, then it pushes us outside of our comfort zone, because we're not very tolerant. And when you have children, you have to be extremely tolerant. And so my intolerance of my oldest became very obvious in the way that I tried to control her with threats and bribes and timeout and manipulations and yelling, because I needed her to stop doing whatever she was doing and do as I wanted her to do. And that could have been many things. And one of the big things that came up as she began to go to school was homework and grades and all of those things. I needed those to be perfect. I needed those to be done. I needed those to be completed. I needed those to not be a problem for me, because I needed everything to be calm and quiet and buttoned up and done. And so I had a really hard time allowing her to take on the responsibility of her homework and her grades, because it was bothersome to me and it unearthed me, because I needed everything to be copacetic. And so if she didn't turn in an assignment, or she couldn't do her work, or she came home with a bad grade, it bothered my psyche, because I was taking on all of her things as part of my environment, as part of me. And so this becomes really problematic. So what we can do is differentiate that. Our child is our child, right? Our child is going to have their own experience with school. They're going to have their own experience with grades. They're going to falter. They're going to do well. They're going to do poorly. They're going to turn things in. They're not going to turn things in. They're going to, you know, have an experience of their own. And we can't force them into doing everything that we want them to do, or that we find is the right way or the perfect way. And we have to allow them to fail. And we have to allow them to do the wrong thing, especially when it comes to grades. The same goes for when we request for them to do things. When I would ask Esme to do something and she wouldn't do it, it would unearth me. I need you to listen to me. I need you to do as I ask you to do, because this is not going to work. I need you to do these things so that I can cook dinner, so that I can make sure I can clean up everything, so that my environment is perfect. Because if I don't do that, I will be unearthed. I will not be able to function. And so it wasn't Esme. It wasn't her as a child. It was me and my issues that got in the way and caused me to use control. Now, this might not resonate for everybody, but maybe it does for some people. And maybe there are aspects of this control piece that will resonate in maybe a different way. So when I would request things of her and she would say no, it would throw everything off in our home. And so I would do whatever I could to get her to do the thing. If you don't brush your teeth, then I'm going to take your blankie away. That's it. Like, you have to brush your teeth and you have to do it now, because I said, because I need you to go to bed so I can clean up after dinner. And if those things didn't happen, then I couldn't function, because I was so rigid and such a perfectionist, which created this control freak. We can't be control freaks with our kids. It just doesn't work. They are never going to do everything correctly. They're never going to always do their homework perfectly. They're never going to always respond to our request. They are not going to always exhibit the right behavior. And they're not always going to be clean. And so we have to be malleable around those things. We have to be flexible and easy around our children, or we are going to create rigid people. If we're rigid and we're unable to go with the flow to some degree, nor will they be able to. And I think that's exactly who I created. So I created this child who was very rigid, who needed things to be a certain way, who became a perfectionist herself, who was terrified if the teacher didn't give her all the praise, who was so upset if she didn't get the good grades or couldn't understand her homework, because there was no margin for mistake. There was no margin for the wrong thing. There was no margin for the wrong behavior or mess or anything. The rigidity in our parenting can really affect our children. I saw it firsthand myself with my own kids, and I see it with my clients so much, that we desire control and organization. Many of us, not all of us, and schedule and getting things done and the to-do list, and that becomes so much more important than allowing our children to have their childhood.
We are going to take a short break from our show to hear from our sponsors. Without their sponsorship, I wouldn't be able to bring you the Peace and Parenting podcast free of charge. So I'll see you back in just a few minutes.
What if you spent the next 30 days really focusing on connection with your kids? What do you think sibling rivalry would look like? How would cooperation go? And what would the feeling be in your home? Join my 30-day challenge. For 30 days, you join me and my coach, Martha, and really explore the ideas of connection. We do group coaching for the entire month, and you have access to all of the Peace and Parenting materials. Please join us for a 30-day challenge. Find the link in the show notes.
My book, Unpunished, is finally here. It is my journey into connected parenting, the idea of perfection, and how it nearly took me down as a mom. I give you my best thinking around how to be a connected parent and the insights that I've discovered over the last 12 years of this incredible journey. I'm giving my book away for free, plus shipping and handling. So go to unpunished.com and get yours today. We're shipping domestically and we're also shipping internationally.
Okay, back to the show.
So here are some places where we can kind of let go of control, where we really need to let go control, because it isn't that we're letting go of control of our children. We're letting go of control of the outcome that our children are going to produce. So, for instance, homework and grades, like I said, that's them. That's on them. That's for them. They are allowed to have the grades and do the homework that they so choose. And the natural consequences will weigh in. And homework is not it's not an indication of anything that academically. It really is, for the most part, busy work. And if a child is in school and they're not grasping the concepts, and then they're coming home to do homework that they can't do because they don't understand the concepts, that doesn't make any sense either. In fact, I hate homework altogether. That's another podcast. But letting them have their experience with their own homework and their own grades and their own academic experience, if you're a homeschooler, like, they need to be able to own that. Oh, you didn't do all of your work. Well, now what? What are we going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? This is on you, not on me. Cooperation. Asking our kids to do things, requesting for them to do things. They are not always going to say yes, and they're not always going to say yes in our time frame, and they are going to say no, and they have their own free will and autonomy, and we need to recognize that. If we want to get more cooperation and we want to get more yeses, manipulation, threats and bribes and control are not the way. Connection is. How do we get connected to a child so that they feel good about the relationship they share with us, so that we have influence, so that they want to follow our lead, but they're also able to say no? Like, for instance, today, Esme, she's home from college for winter break. And I asked her, can you mail these two things and take this thing back to Amazon and pick up your sister today? I asked if she could do that. And at first she was like, yes, I can do all of that stuff for you. And then she came back and she was like, no, actually, mom, I can't do all of that stuff for you. I can pick up Pia and I can take the Amazon thing, but I can't mail those two things. That's reasonable. Like, it is okay for her to say no to me. It is okay for her to say, I can't do all these things, or I don't want to do all these things. But she is going to do some of them, and I do have influence, and it's okay that she said no to those things. And that's the way it should be. They should be able to say no, but they should also, and we should, cultivate places where we want them to say yes. And we do that through connection and relationship. If you have a good relationship with somebody, they're more likely to say yes to you. If you have a good bond with somebody, they're more likely to follow your lead. And we erode and destroy connection by using threats and bribes and consequences and punishments and timeouts and the like. That erodes connection because nobody wants to be manipulated. Do you use those things with your partner? Absolutely not. Then why would you use those things with your children? Nobody should have to feel manipulated in the closest relationships that they have. Now, granted, manipulations happen. We know that. They happen all over this world. Our kids will experience them. believe me, they will experience them. But do we want them to experience them with us? Don't we want this to be safe and sacred? So you can't always expect your kid to say yes. And when they say no, we cannot be upset about it. We have to be able to be flexible around it. And we have to be able to allow them to say no. And we hope we can garner as many yeses as possible using connection. Behavior. Our children are not always going to behave in the way we want them to. Our partners don't. We don't. Nobody does. That's not realistic. And yet the control freak parent will believe that a child should just be obedient and follow and respond with the correct behavior every single time and will be befuddled that they don't. And that's where I was way back when. I was befuddled. I was shocked. How could this child who I've done attachment parenting with, who I've breastfed for 3 years, how could she say no to me? I thought I was doing all the things to make sure she didn't. But what I didn't account for is that people have free will. Kids have free will. She's allowed to say no to me. I might not like it. I might be upset by it, but that is her choice. She gets to have choice. And when you have a strong-willed kid like mine, they aren't afraid to say no, no matter what. So we have to expect that behavior is going to be off track sometimes. They're going to say no. They're going to hit their brother and sister. They're going to throw their food. They are going to come in late for curfew. They're going to fail their midterm. They're going to do the things that we don't want them to do. And to be shocked and angry and upset about it is where we falter. That's what we can't fall into. We have to expect that these behaviors are going to happen and not be the control freak parent believing that they can control their child into behaving the correct way all the time. Not happening, guys. Just not. And if it is, then I would be worried about that. Why would we want to control someone so much that we're creating a child that is perfectly behaved? Perfectly behaved kids make me more nervous than kids who say no and fight back and resist and, you know, are sassy, because there is free will in there. And of course, a child who is overly compliant has wanted to say no, has wanted to do their own thing, has wanted to push back, but hasn't been able to. So where does that fit into their psyche? If they're feeling this urge to speak their mind and have their own free will and they're unable to, what does that do to them? And what does that do to your relationship? Are they really truly living inside your relationship in authenticity? Or are they thwarting their own authenticity in order to please us? So it isn't just the strong-willed child, but it's all children who really, that control is not beneficial for. Control is detrimental for the strong-willed child and also children who are not strong-willed. But you might not see it from them. So our expectation has to be that behavior is going to be wonky. And when behavior is wonky, we come with connection. We come with empathy. We come with understanding. We come with special time if we need to. We come with play. We come with the tools of connection in order to manage getting through those behaviors. You have a kid who's tantruming, you listen through the feelings. You have a kid who's defiant, you stay present and connected and allow them to go through it. And hopefully, with enough connection, their prefrontal cortex will come back online and they'll be able to come back and see the situation as it is. Now, young kids, not always, but as time goes on, they will. So our expectation can't be that our children have perfect behavior. They just can't. It's impossible. And when you have that expectation, you're shocked by it. And that shock will put you into control sometimes. So we need to expect it and have a plan. Okay, when my child says no, what am I going to do? Am I going to say, I understand, I'm right here. Do you need some sort of connection piece? Do you need a hug? Would you like special time? Would you like to hang out? And is that no just an indication of how they're feeling in that moment? And will that no turn into a yes? It very well could. Sometimes no are just a protest to something they don't want to do, but eventually they will. It doesn't mean they're bad kids. It doesn't mean they're disrespectful. It doesn't mean they're sassy. But our control will only make things worse. If we become the control freak, if we force them in to some sort of punishment, we use a threat, if we use a bribe, if we use timeout, if we take something from them, now we're using manipulation in order to control their behavior. That's not okay. It's just not. Would you do it again? Would you do it with your partner? You wouldn't, because it doesn't feel good. And the last thing I want to talk about is cleanliness. So being clean, this was my own personal journey. I don't know if this is going to resonate with anyone, but I liked everything clean, perfectly clean. And so either I would use this, I would spend so much time trying to get everything clean and drive myself insane, staying up late at night and working really hard to get everything clean, or I would expect my kids to do it. And I think it's an unrealistic expectation on both ends, because if I spent all this time and effort trying to clean, then I was not as good a parent as I could have been moving every day because I was so exhausted and taxed. Or I was putting it on my kids to do it, bribing them usually. I had this whole star chart system for a while where I was just asking Esme to do all these chores to get her to, you know, clean her room and clean up the bathroom and put her clothes away. And it worked beautifully for a little while. And then she was like, no, I don't want your stickers. I don't want your candy. I don't want your, you know, toys that you're giving me for this, these bribes. I'm over it. I don't want to do the cleaning. And so I had to modify my expectations around cleanliness and be able to put up with mess. And I had to also modify my expectations of a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old. They're only able to clean up so much. And eventually, when the kids got older, I gave, you know, them full rein in their rooms. And I said, this is on you. This is your room. You decide how clean you want it. You decide what's going on in here. Now, we had some rules, no eating in those rooms. And some people would break that rule. And when they broke that rule, it was a discussion around what's happening here. Why are these things in here? And then using connection to get them to get those things out of their room. But without the connection piece, there was even no having that discussion. So connection is really how you make sure you get through all of these issues, because connection is the opposite of control. We use connection instead of control. Everyone asks me all the time on Instagram, well, what do you do instead? You connect instead. That's what you do instead. You use all the connection tools instead. You fill your home with connection so you have less pushback. I don't have kids eating in their rooms. Why? Because they don't want to disappoint me, because they value the relationship I share with them. I don't have kids who, you know, are off the rails. Why? Because we have a good connection. Sure, they make their mistakes. Esme was a jerk to me this morning, but we don't have huge issues. We have the everyday regular issues, and I expect those, and I'm not upset when they come. Well, sometimes I'm upset when they come. Let me just be honest. Sure, I still get upset when they come. I still get upset when someone's sassy with me, but I try really hard not to show that upset to my children. I try really hard not to, you know, threaten or bribe or use consequences. I don't use those anymore, but I really try to keep my upset to myself. And then I have that upset with a listening partner or with another adult or with a friend. And so I can get it out there, and I try really hard not to take it out on my kids. So if you find yourself being the control freak, maybe this is a good way to reframe it. This is a good way to look at it in a different light. Because it doesn't feel good to be the control freak, and it doesn't feel good to be the recipient of control. Okay, I hope this podcast was helpful. I hope we'll see you next time on the Peace and Parenting Podcast.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.